Matthew 5 and verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be overthrown, but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men." Verse 14, "You are." Now, how many here highlight your Bible? Did you do that? I would suggest in those two verses, the first two words in each verse, highlight them. You are, okay? That's the main message in the verse. You are your salt and your light. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Who can tell me what is the same of all the six cities of refuge in the Old Testament? Sorry? What is the similarity? What is one similarity of all the cities, the six cities of refuge in the Old Testament?
They were on a hill.
They were on a hill. Okay. And if it's on the hill, then the light is not hidden. Men in desperation with a death sentence on their head could see the light. Okay? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, what's the significance of the light being hid under a bushel? What does that speak about? The bushel was a measure, and it was used in commerce. So you can lose your light in the business world. You can be so persistent in pursuing your career that that's all that matters to you, and your light is hid. You don't care who you trample over to get to the next step in your company or whatever, your light is hid. Now, what else? Well, Jesus said the light could be hid under something. What else? The bed. It said you don't light a light and hide it under a bed. Now, what's the significance of the bed? Heard the story of a man who complained about not being able to sleep. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctor said to him, "Well, what are your symptoms if you can't sleep?" And he said, "Well, I'm okay from 9 to 9, but from 9 till noon, I just toss and turn. Too long in the bed." And some of us, self-included, can just get lazy about sharing the gospel. And we need to encourage one another. We need to prod one another along in those things. I'm just going to read down to these, try to get through them much quicker than last time. The shame of the cross. You need to be ready to bear the shame of the cross. Do you sing the hymn here, "The Old Rugged Cross"? It's shame and shame and reproach. Do what? Gladly bear. Well, if you're a hidden Christian under the bushel or under the bed, you don't have to bear that shame. When you step out and profess the name of Jesus Christ, you're identifying yourself with him. And he said, "Marvel not if the world hates you. If it hates me, it will hate you also." The division of the cross. Matthew 12:30. Jesus said, "Either you are for me or against me." There's no such thing as being half saved. He said, "Either you're for me or against me." A lot of people believe when it comes to Jesus that they can be like Pilate and just wash their hands. "I don't want nothing to do with him." You can't have nothing to do with Jesus. He is your judge. You will stand before him. And you can't just pretend to have nothing to do with Jesus. And every person out there is in the same boat. They will come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. Better that we bring them face to face with him in the day of mercy and of grace. How many here know what an amnesty is? What's an amnesty?
Freed up from bondage.
Okay.
Giving freedom from fire.
Okay.
Declaring a truce, like. It means not subject to the laws in the place where you're at.
Okay. In Northern Ireland, they had a period of amnesty where anybody could go in and lay down any kind of bomb or gun or whatever. There were certain things that you could not have in your home. And if you took it into the police station in that given period of time, there was no penalty. Now, people ask you, they ask me all the time, why doesn't God do something about sin? Anybody ever have that? The reason that there is God allows sin and the world to carry on as it is, we're in a day of amnesty. We're in a day of grace. Jesus didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. And we need to bring people into that, but they need to know that they're on one side or the other. And the Word of God brings that out clearly. Paul's decision in Romans 1:16, he said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's a decision that we make. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. What's the evidence of it? That I stand with him. Paul's exhortation in Timothy, do not be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. The privilege of his disciples. Let's turn to that one, please, in Acts chapter 5. I was with a fellow, we were doing sketchboard messages, and it was his turn to preach, and as he was preaching, somebody egged him. And with the egg running down his face, he said, what a privilege to be counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 41, it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, have you ever contemplated all the things that we keep hidden, and rightfully so, not that we live in hidden sin, but all the things that we wouldn't dare tell even our best friend, we can tell them to Jesus. Amen? And we don't dare tell them to other people because of the shame. And he bore that on the cross for you and I. And the shame of identifying with him is absolutely nothing compared to what he bore for you and I. Now, these notes were made a little while ago. And I've listed some other things here that hinder people from sharing the gospel, but one thing that I would put at the top of the list is horizontal relationships. If you have people in this world that you do not like, that you will not keep company with, you might better forget about witnessing. I asked this question recently when I was preaching, and it's well worth the consideration. Is there anybody in this church, is there anybody in this city, in this state, in this country, in this world, that you would not sit down and have a meal with? In Luke chapter 15, what did the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ accuse him of? This man eats with sinners. Anybody know why he ate with sinners? He didn't like to eat alone. Simple, huh? good test for ourselves if there's anger, animosity against someone in our heart. I would not sit down and have a meal with them. Could not enjoy a meal if they were at the same table. Fear, recognize the source. We've already talked about this a little bit. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 29. The fear of man brings a snare. Any of the gentlemen want to share with us what is a snare? What principle does a snare work on? Okay, number one, it's used by trappers as a form of a trap. Generally, you don't set a snare out in the open. It's hidden or kind of camouflaged, and Satan does that with us. But the snare works on this principle, that once it goes over my head and I begin to fight that snare, what does it do? It kills me. As soon as the animal gets the head in the noose and he feels it and he goes to back up, he fights the snare, and the more he fights, the quicker he dies. You can't fight fear. You have to surrender it to the Lord. It's not something that if I do this often enough, I'm going to overcome this. No. The source is not necessarily inward. It's satanic. Why did Gideon send the soldiers home, the first bunch? Whoever is what? Fearful. If you're fearful, go home. Why? Because fear is contagious. I'm afraid because she's afraid. If mommy's afraid of the spider, the little girl's afraid of the spider. Whatever. The list goes on and on and on. Fear is contagious. We need people like David, who was fearless in facing Goliath, stepping out. Psalm 118, verse 6. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, I just want to survey my audience again. How many of you here feel fear or intimidation when you think of sharing the gospel with your brother, sister, aunt, uncle, mother, your neighbor? How many sense fear? Good. Okay. If I share the gospel with something, let's say I go downtown to the worst section of Columbus, Ohio, and I go in and I start sharing the gospel. Humanly speaking, what is the absolute worst that can happen to me? Yeah? My wife and I were coming out of the ghetto one night when we were living in Jamaica. Unknown to me, a woman with a toy gun leaned over her balcony and put it to my head and said, "Mr. Cooney, I'm going to kill you." I said, "You pull the trigger, I'm in heaven, you're in jail." Humanly speaking, that's the worst that can happen, is death. That's the worst thing I have to fear. And if it happens to a Christian, it's just early retirement or promotion or whatever title you want to put on it. Amen? Can we say amen here?
Amen.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to know. So we recognize the source, we recognize the consequence, and we claim the victory daily. I put in there daily. Now, another reason that we don't like to go out is because we're not prepared. Now, if you sat down and wanted to have a conversation with me about computers, it would be about that long. That's all I know about computers. I use one for my Bible study, my research, but I'm just afraid if I get connected to that thing, I'll become disconnected from people. I fear that. And the less you know about the Lord Jesus Christ, the less willing you will be to talk about Him. The more you know Him, the more you will love Him. And the more you love Him, the more you will talk about Him. Now, what I'd like to do, this thing goes on and on and on. The lack of preparation, what do I do? Well, there's prayer in preparation. Pray, Paul said, that I might have boldness. There's physical preparation. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you spent $1 buying tracks? We need to do it. The assembly needs to supply them. That track rack at the back should be emptied every week.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. get new ones, get different ones, get good ones, get CDs, get DVDs, get whatever you need to get, but have material on hand to go out. And it doesn't have to be sophisticated and complicated. David had what? Sling and stone. But Jesus said, and we're going to close with this, if you follow me, I will make you what? Fishers of men. Now, I want to just think about that. Keep to the positive here. If I followed and did what Tiger Woods did every day, I would become a world-class what? Golfer. And you can name other people in the sports field. If I went out, I practiced with them, I did with them, I worked with them, I would become what they are. To a lesser degree, but I would become. Jesus said, if you follow me, you're going to become what? Fishers of men. If you follow me. The command he got was from his Father. And he passes the command on to us. Now, let's take some time and go fishing. I'd like this group here to divide up a little bit more. Separate a little bit more. And what I want you also to do is to pick a scenario. In other words, pick a discussion item. Pretend you're at work or you're at a family gathering or whatever, and we've just experienced an earthquake. And let that be the beginning of a conversation. We had wonderful conversation over here after we got started last time. But see if you can do that. I share one last little illustration for that. I was a young Christian coming home from a prayer meeting. There was a young man standing beside the highway and he was hitchhiking. I had just cut some firewood for my grandmother to burn in her stove and my chainsaw was sitting in the front of the truck. I didn't want to put it in the back in case somebody stole it while I was in prayer meeting. So the hitchhiker gets in and he looks at the chainsaw and he says, oh, you got something I got. And I said, oh, I think I got something else and maybe you don't got it. Pardon the English, but that's the way it was said. He said, oh, what's that? I said, I got Jesus Christ as my Savior. Do you have Jesus as your Savior? And he said, no, but my grandmother always talks about him. And for 5 miles down the road, we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ when I could have been talking about what? A chainsaw. Who wants to talk about a chainsaw? when I can talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. So just think of that when you're trying to develop a theme, a conversation to move into the subject of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, back in your groups and carry on.